Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 75 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers, and this is Mountain Edition.
I'm Logan Pemberton.
To hire more people, train them, and buy more equipment so that our Commonwealth would never, ever, ever have a rape kit backlog again.
The Kentucky Office of the Attorney General received a $3 million grant to solve cold sexual assault cases.
A hiker killed in the Red River Gorge has been identified.
The pension issue could have a huge impact on the Rowan County school system.
Rowan County's clerk is attending a speaking engagement in Romania.
A Lexington construction project has a new financial backer.
In sports, the University of Louisville has hired a new assistant coach.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 54. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Attorney General Andy Beshear is getting help from the federal government to solve sexual assault cold cases. The U.S. Department of Justice announced a $3 million grant today that will pay for a victim advocate, investigator, and prosecutor, among others, to form a sexual assault cold case unit. Beshear spoke in a university forum on the issue of sexual violence at Moorhead State University on Tuesday.
After somebody has been already traumatized and they have the courage to pick up the phone and make a call, then they have the courage to go in and get the most invasive forensic exam you could ever ask someone to take, where the body is a crime scene. For so many of those courageous survivors, we had locked that courage in a box and put it on a shelf. It'll never, ever happen again.
Beshear said when he took office, Kentucky had more than 3,000 untested rape kits, but nearly 95% of those kits have now been tested.
The body of a man who fell off a cliff at the Red River Gorge has been identified. Investigators believe alcohol may have played a role in the death of Louisville native Max Suffrage early Tuesday morning. John May with the Wolf County Search and Rescue Team says they were called to the scene around 3:30 when a fellow hiker injured himself searching for Suffrage.
Attempted to rappel down to try to find his friend, and in that process, his hair became entangled in his rappel device, and he ended up de-scalping himself a little bit and having to cut his hair away, and he actually took about a 20-foot fall and kind of injured himself in that process.
May estimates the man fell somewhere between 220 to 240 feet. He says it is one of the largest falls his team has encountered. The Powell County Search and Rescue Team and inmates from the Three Forks Regional Jail assisted in the recovery. Officials stress that alcohol is prohibited on National Forest lands.
A Prestonsburg woman is dead following a wreck on U.S. 23 this morning. EKB-TV reports that shortly after 7 a.m., 60-year-old Judith Brown was driving north on U.S. 23 about a mile past the Floyd-Johnson County line. When she veered off the highway, left the road, and struck a rock wall. Brown was pronounced dead at the scene. The Johnson County Sheriff's Office is investigating the incident. They say at this time they have not been able to determine what caused the accident.
Twins have been identified as suspects in a weekend murder in Richmond. According to WKYT, Elton and Eltron Bailey are wanted in connection to the murder of 21-year-old Jacody Dean. The twins, who are 27, are considered to be armed and dangerous. According to the police, Dean was shot at a home on Foxhaven Drive at around 3:15 a.m. on Saturday, September 30th, before he died at the hospital later that morning. Eltron Bailey is wanted on murder, possession of a handgun by a felon, and persistent felony offenses. Elton Bailey is wanted for complicity to murder and persistent felony offenses. Police say if you see or know the whereabouts of Eltron and Elton Bailey, you should call 911.
We'll have more of your local news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, and Cave Run Lake. The City of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. The City of Moorhead can be reached at 606-784-8505, Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
If state lawmakers make major changes to help save Kentucky's ailing public pension systems, those changes could have a major financial effect on the Rowan County school system. The early word is that the Commonwealth's public schools may have to hike their contributions to their employees' retirements by between 50 and 60%. According to Superintendent Marvin Moore, doing so would cost the Rowan District about $350,000, which would force it to consider a tax hike along with cost-saving methods.
This year, you know, we actually took a decrease in our property tax. We went from 56.8 to 56.4, and 2 years prior to that, we kept it flat, and we've still been able to maintain what we've got, but we'll definitely have to factor that in, and we'll look at some programs and may have to look at staff. That's not what we want to do, but we'll just wait and see what comes out of this special session when it comes to pension.
Governor Matt Bevins is expected to call for a special session on pension reform sometime next month. The state's retirement systems are currently $33 billion in the red.
The Bracken County School District received a positive annual audit on Monday. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
Certified public accountant Denise Keene says the school district received an unmodified statement, which means the district's financial statements have been presented fairly. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, it is anticipated that the district's contribution will rise from 17% to 25% for the 2017-2018 school year and rise to 50% the following year. During the audit presentation, Keene expressed concern with management at the individual school levels. In response to this, Bracken County High School Principal Anthony Dietrich presented the testing scores recently released by the Kentucky Department of Education. According to Dietrich, the proficient and distinguished scores rose in almost every area. For WMKY News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Moorhead's Parks and Recreation Director believes buying the old Sunnybrook Golf Course from Moorhead State University would be a good idea for the city and the county. David Morris believes over the next 10 to 20 years, having that sprawling property would pay off for the future recreation needs of a growing community.
Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about another interchange out that way, another exit ramp at that end of the county line. And, you know, it would be. If, you know, anytime you have an opportunity of 200 acres of real estate in the Moorhead area, I think you're hard-pressed not to take a good look at it anyway.
According to Morris, a source has told him that MSU wants $350,000 for the Sunnybrook site. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent and Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins say it would cost several million dollars right now to provide Sunnybrook with the infrastructure upgrades that it needs to help make it suitable for a recreation park, which is money neither the city nor the county has.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent promises there will be future events and festivals in the city's downtown where alcohol will be sold. There was a small beer garden set up at last weekend's Pride Festival on First Street, and Trent says, by all accounts, things there went well and there were no problems. However, looking down through the road, the mayor says offering limited alcohol sales at downtown events will be considered on a case-by-case basis.
It all depends on the type of event and depends on, you know, what the event organizers think the people who will attend their event want. And if it's a group that doesn't necessarily want that, it's not something we're going to make people do or strongly suggest people do. It's just something we're going to add another option to our vendor list.
Trent says officials will continue to restrict alcohol sales at festivals to designated areas. The next event that will allow alcohol sales will be the Brouhaha at the Rowan County Arts Center on October 26th. A number of craft beer makers will be in attendance.
Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis is in Romania this week speaking to crowds on same-sex marriage. The Eastern European country's government is mulling over a petition asking that they define marriage as, quote, a union between one man and one woman. Speaking to a group of Romanians at a rally, Davis said that freedom of conscience is the issue.
While I was incarcerated, there was such a sense of peace and rest in my soul.
That sound is courtesy of WKYT. Davis is traveling with the Liberty Council, an evangelical Christian organization listed as a hate group by the left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center. One of the group's high-ranking officials is from Romania. The Rowan County Clerk first made headlines in 2015 when she refused to sign a marriage license for a gay couple. She was jailed for contempt of court and released 5 days later.
A major construction project in downtown Lexington has picked up a new investor. WKYT reports that Greer Companies has decided to back the CenterPoint project, a 12-story office building set in downtown Lexington. Greer Companies is based in Lexington, operates more than 60 restaurants, and has franchise agreements with different hotel chains. Dudley Webb, developer for the project, says he has received the building permit for the office tower and hopes to get permits for a 12-story Marriott hotel and an extended-stay 8-floor Residence Inn. Construction on the underground parking garage for the building is nearly complete. Webb says the project is expected to be complete by fall of 2018.
It's been 1 year since Mason County started its needle exchange program. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson updates us on its progress.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the program's goal has been to prevent the spread of HIV, sexually transmitted diseases, and hepatitis B and C caused by the use of dirty needles. Drug addicts receive clean needles and syringes in exchange for their used ones. Over the past year, the program has given out 1,458 clean needles and syringes and taken possession of 847 dirty ones. Officials say that the differential between those two numbers is due to the first-time participants not turning in their old needles or their needles were confiscated before they joined the program. While they are given clean supplies, they are also offered information on treatment options for ending their addictions, as well as screenings for different types of diseases. Since the start of Mason's Needle Exchange Program, there have been 5 referrals to rehab facilities or mental health services and 6 referrals to hepatitis C care. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Studies show a huge rise in the number of Kentucky adults and children with disability benefits. According to Spectrum News, the report was issued by Kentucky's Disability Determination Services within the Cabinet for Health and Family Services. Between 1980 and 2015, Kentucky's population grew by 21%. Meanwhile, its disability enrollment rose by 249%. Brian Hubbard is the Division of Income Support Deputy Commissioner, and he says there is a way to slow down this drastic increase.
The first thing would be to completely overhaul and reform the protocols which are used to admit people into the Social Security disability system. At the present time, that is mostly driven by subjective reports of complaints and medical diagnoses without any sort of forensic medical examination or psychiatric evaluation.
Hubbard says they have to use objective medicine and the best practices in forensic evaluation to make sure that those who need the benefits get them over the people who are placed in line who aren't given other options. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the rest of the week. Tonight, patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 54. Thursday, areas of fog before 10 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 70. Thursday night, patchy fog after midnight, otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 54. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 78. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 82 degrees in Inez, 77 degrees here in Moorhead, 76 degrees in Flemingsburg and Ashland, 73 degrees in Winchester, and 72 degrees in Lexington.
On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our diverse Appalachian community. Today we hear from Elena May, born to Russian parents in a former Soviet state, who now teaches mathematics at the Rowan campus of the Maysville Community and Technical College. Elena describes growing up in isolation of Siberia and the challenges of learning a new language as a mature adult.
I was born in Kazakhstan, and my mom is from Kazakhstan, and my dad's family is from the Ukraine. And mainly I grew up in Siberia, far, far away in east part of Russia. It was some big project to build a railroad, and the government offered pretty good pay.
And so they both were employed in the same company.
We had pretty decent summer. Sometimes the temperature could go up above 90s, but in the winter time it can go down close to minus 50. We have to wear natural fur and cover our faces. We had special shoes purely made from wool, and they were so warm and so light and so good.
Permafrost.
Right. Between heels, we had legs, and on the bottom of these legs, we had eyes. When we were kids and swimming, sometimes we jumped and legged and touched the bottom, and it was ice. It was really cold. It's a really small town. It was about 3,000 people. Started second grade, and I stayed there till I graduated from high school.
Yeah. Did the town exist before the project?
No, it was a wild forest, and then when I was supposed to start fourth grade, and railroad moved, so we moved to a different place, and then we moved again, and the houses were built like Lego pieces, modular. Put together, people live there, and they take apart, put it in a car, move to a different place, and build it again. When I graduated from high school, I decided that I want to go to a big city. I had enough living in the forest, and I went to Novosibirsk, the third biggest city in Russia. It's exactly in the middle between west and east of the country. 48 hours on a train from Moscow, or 4 hours on a plane. So when I graduated, my first job was a computer programmer. The economy was really bad, and my company fell bankruptcy. I taught math for 2 years at a public school. My last job in Russia was a profit analyst. My husband is American, and we met in 1989 when Russia opened borders for foreign students. When I moved here, I had a daughter who was 4, and my older daughter was 8. And when my younger daughter started pre-K program, I started working at Kroger. My older daughter did not know English at all. When we moved, she was in the middle of the second grade. She has to sit in class, listen, and she did not understand too much in the beginning. By the end of the second grade, she was fine. She wasn't good enough to express herself. 12 years ago, I had a son.
And so your daughters now are
25 and 21.
And your son is in middle school.
He's in eighth grade.
And your husband's teaching mathematics
MSU.
At MSU.
Yes. And I teach math at the Maysville Community and Technical College in Morehead. I grew up in a small community. Morehead is kind of similar. In Morehead, everybody knows everybody. People are very supportive here compared to big cities.
Right.
In big cities, people do not care because they don't know each other. But in small communities like Morehead, people are friendly and really supportive of each other. It's pretty nice. It reminds me of my place where I grew up. This is why I feel really comfortable here at Kroger. I had to spend many hours standing on my feet, but when I came home, my feet did not bother me as much as my muscles or my neck and tongue because I had to move my tongue in a different way. In English language, to make sounds, you have to use different muscles. So my muscles on my neck were so sore. And even now, after 17 and a half years, I have problems to say some sounds correct. I feel like I repeat the same sound, but people say, no, it's not right.
But it comes out differently.
Yes, you have to do it again.
Thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, too.
It's 4:48 and 75 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Logan Pemberton, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by St. Clair Regional.
Hello, I'm Ricky Watts, a nursing director at St. Clair Regional. We are currently looking to hire empathetic, compassionate registered nurses to join our team. Nursing is more than just a profession at St. Clair Regional. We have new RN rates and benefit packages, and we're growing. More information can be found at St. Clair Regional's website, st-clair.org.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After getting rained out last night, the Chicago Cubs and Washington Nationals are currently in action in Game 4 of the NLDS Series. Currently in the game, the two teams are tied at 0 in the bottom of the second inning. Aces Steven Strasburg and Jake Arrieta are on the mound for their respective clubs. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees and Cleveland Indians wrap up their series tonight in Cleveland. After blowing an 8-3 lead to the Indians in Game 2, the Yankees were able to force a Game 5 after winning two straight at home. Manager Joe Girardi says he's pleased with how his team responded after giving up Game 2.
It's as difficult as a loss as I've had. We've gotten it back to 2-2, and we got a shot now. So it's a totally different feeling than it was the other day, and these guys have picked me up.
The Yankees are sending C.C. Sabathia to the mound, while Cleveland is going with Corey Kluber. According to a veteran member of the Morehead State football team, communication issues had much to do with the Eagles' back-to-back PFL losses to Campbell and Butler. And redshirt junior safety Saeed Kanu says the Eagles' defense, which allowed 82 points in those defeats, had too many of those breakdowns.
Like, we do a lot of things right, and then, you know, a big play there, a big play here, it's all result in communication. Sometimes we assume that some guys know the call when, you know, in actuality they don't, or they just need that little reminder. So I feel like once we fix up the communication part and we get things rolling offensively, I think we'll get things back in the better of things.
At 2-4 overall and 1-2 in the conference, the MSU football team visits San Diego on Saturday. The Kentucky football team is enjoying a bye week this week. The Wildcats are sitting pretty right now with a 5-1 record, including a 2-1 mark in the SEC. Even so, Coach Mark Stoops admits he's still fostering up an us-against-the-world mentality inside UK's locker room.
That's just the nature of this business. I think any of us, coaches or players, always want to find the right balance between staying ahead of the chains and doing anything you can to improve in any area that you can. So we're always trying to just do the best we can.
UK will play a conference game at Mississippi State a week from this Saturday. Round County football coach Kelly Ford says his young Vikings will get another learning opportunity when they visit defending Class 4A state champions Johnson Central on Friday. The 7-0 Golden Eagles are again ranked number one in the state. According to Ford, they'll provide the Vikings with demonstrations of what it takes to be a top-level program.
That's where we want our program to get at, and those kids can get over there. It's going to be one of the best atmospheres to play in high school football in, and they'll get a little taste of it, and we'll go over and compete the best way we can.
In addition to being unbeaten, Johnson Central is scoring an average of 46 points a game and rushes for nearly 390 yards per outing. The attorney for former Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino says the school was acting, quote, on emotion and not facts when they fired the coach. Here's Haley Hansen.
Talking on 790 WKRD, attorney Steve Pence says the University of Louisville moved too quickly firing Pitino over an FBI investigation into a recruit bribing scandal.
Our own university has gone forward to make the allegation that he has done that, wants to try to put proof on that he has done that, and there is no proof to be had.
Pence says it's unclear what will happen when the coach is found innocent. Pitino will go before the board next week to defend his employment. I'm Haley Hansen.
Meanwhile, the University of Louisville's acting head basketball coach, David Padgett, has made an addition to his coaching staff. Padgett has named Trent Johnson as an assistant coach. Johnson has 36 years of coaching experience, including head coaching jobs at Nevada, Stanford, LSU, and TCU. Padgett says that experience made Johnson the, quote, perfect hire.
I'd be absolutely crazy to go into this thinking that I didn't need somebody who has that, and somebody I know, have a previous relationship with, somebody I can trust, somebody who has coached at this level, are probably the three biggest things. And, you know, it's just the timing of the whole thing it couldn't have worked out any better.
The U of L basketball team has its first red-white scrimmage this Friday at the Yum Center. NCAA President Mark Emmert announced today the formation of a commission on college basketball. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has details.
The committee will attempt to fix the problems in the sport in the wake of the FBI's bribery scandal. The commission will be chaired by former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and composed of leaders from higher education, college sports, government, and the business world, as well as accomplished former student athletes. The commission will focus on three main areas, being the relationship of the NCAA National Office, member institutions, student athletes, and coaches with outside entities such as apparel companies and agents, the NCAA's relationship with the NBA, and the challenging effect the NBA's so-called one-and-done rule has had on college basketball, and creating the, quote, right relationship between the universities and colleges of the NCAA and its national office to promote transparency and accountability. The commission will begin its work next month and deliver its recommendations on legislative policy and structural changes to the boards for action at their April meetings. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
And finally in sports, the Round County boys soccer team plays Bath County tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock for the title of the 61st District Tournament in Frenchburg. Bath ran past Fleming County last night 5-1 to advance to the championship game. Round coach Max Hammonds' red-hot squad will enter the championship tilt as winners of 10 in a row.
The boys are playing really well. You know, we're looking good offensively, defensively, not letting in many goals. So, you know, it's coming together, and, you know, hopefully we peak right there in regional time.
The Round County girls are still waiting to see which team they'll play in their 61st District Championship game tomorrow. Bath County's game with Fleming County was postponed last night. It's now slated for this evening. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball will host Eastern Illinois at 7 p.m. on Friday and SIU Edwardsville at 2 p.m. on Saturday in Weatherby Gym. For tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed higher after the Federal Reserve released a summary from its previous meeting that showed it believes the economy is strong enough to withstand another rate hike in December. In the Dow Industrials rose 42.21, finishing at 22,872.89. And that is another all-time record high close for the Dow. The S&P 500 was up 4.6 at 2555.24, and that is a record for the S&P as well. The NASDAQ composite was actually the strongest of the three major indexes, as it was up 16.3 at 6603.55. And again, that is an all-time closing high for the NASDAQ as well. The Fed minutes from September showed that a December interest rate hike is all but certain despite low inflation levels, and most market participants are already expecting a rate hike in December, so the release of these minutes had little effect on the markets today. Wall Street also looked to corporate news as earnings season picked up steam. BlackRock and Delta Airlines both reported quarterly results that beat expectations. BlackRock was up 1.75% today, and Delta Airlines was up 0.75%. Other companies scheduled to report this week include big banks like Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, and Bank of America. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.75% at $51.30 a barrel. Gold was up 0.1% at $1,295.50 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were flat as the Stock 600 index was unchanged. In the Far East, markets were mostly higher with the Nikkei up 0.3% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Johnson & Johnson and Walmart. The worst performers were GE and Merck. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Nucor and Target, and the worst performers were Navient and Robert Half International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 12 cents at 66.03, CSX up 69 cents at 53.08, AK Steel up 7 cents at 5.43, AEP up 36 cents at 72.75, Marathon Petroleum down 2 cents at 56.23, and U.S. Bancorp was up 3 cents to finish at 54.26. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Sean Delaney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Chaz Jenkins, Kenzie Thompson, Cody Robinson, and Braxton Howard. From WUKY, Josh James chipped in as well. Today's feature segment came from Morehead's own Adrian Swain. This is Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY Morehead and Translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, all things considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.